Welcome back, DGSNKMOX. We have a company meeting at 4, so we're going to replay for you the Priest and the Rabbi from a couple of weeks ago. Really, really good. Probably the best one we've done. And we can't miss this meeting, so there you go. But we'll be back, obviously, tomorrow at 1 p.m. Matt Pauly from the sports department hanging out with us, talking about your kids. It's fun. I miss it. Man, I miss having little kids.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you guys stories every single day, just wacky stuff that both of my daughters did. Yeah. And the things they say. I was telling you a story, like, the other day, she lost a tooth. My oldest one did. And she was convinced that the tooth fairy was going to bring her wings so she could fly. That, I don't know where that got into her head, but that got into her head. So then I had to have the dad conversation with her. I said, Sophia, you know, people can't fly. And she goes, you're telling me fairies aren't people? What do you say?
Checkmate.
What do you say?
Yeah. No, they're fairies. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So
they're different. Funny. They live in the forest. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I was caught off guard by that question. Matt, I didn't have much of an answer on that one.
You haven't done your fairy studies yet?
No.
What's the fairy give you for a tooth these days?
I think generally about $1. First tooth was more than that.
Yeah.
It's a celebration.
Yes.
And I believe the tooth fairy brings about $1 each
time. Man, I remember it's a quarter. Mm. It's inflation.
We did find, she wanted to know, on the last one she wrote a letter to the tooth fairy.
Man, she's enterprising.
Lots of questions on it. So the tooth fairy had to write back, and one of them was, what is your name? So we learned in the Pauly household that the tooth fairy's name is Toothiana.
Toothiana.
Toothiana. Ah, look at that.
Yeah. Quick thinking.
That's great, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's great.
That's the stuff I'm dealing with every day.
How's the relationship between the girls? Is there any rivalry yet?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's rivalry, but sometimes they're 5 years apart. My oldest is 7. My youngest is 2. And there are definitely times where the oldest one does just not want to be around the youngest one, wants to do her own thing. And the youngest one wants to be with her big sister 100% of the time, mm-hmm. just doing what she's doing. So we have that sometimes. Actually, we had the conversation with my oldest daughter yesterday about, hey, there's actually nobody in this world who's going to have a bigger impact on Annalie than you, because she is looking at you at all times and she just wants to be you. So if you have a bad attitude, if you're doing bad things, you're teaching that to her. So yeah, we totally guilt tripped my my oldest daughter into behaving
gotta
in
do
a way
you gotta
to
do.
You know, set the standard.
Oh, Maureen still tells the story. Her sister Terry's, I think, 3 years older. And when they were like junior high and Terry was in high school, she tells the story that she was just, you know, trying to be a part of the little group. And Terry just shoved her into a sticker bush. And she's like, I'm just laying there in this sticker bush and just completely rejected by my sibling. We all go through that.
Yeah. But it's good. She's good with her. And, you know, sometimes there's no better moment as a parent than, like, you'll walk by one of their rooms and the youngest one will be sitting on the lap of the older one. And the older
one's
like reading to her or something. Yeah. Like, that's that makes every part of parenting worth it right there.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. You guys want to talk baseball? What do you want to talk about?
Your call, man.
I can tell you one thing. Golf pisses me off. I was watching golf, and I like to play golf, and sometimes I like to watch it. But let's just be honest. Golf is stupid, and it has stupid rules. And this guy was in the fairway, not even putting. He's in the fairway, and he lowers his iron, and he goes, "Up! Oh, I need a marshal. I saw the ball move." And his caddy's like, "I didn't see it move." So clearly it didn't like roll. And he's like, "I can't imagine why it would have moved unless I hit it. I need to take a penalty." And I'm like, this is the stupidest game.
Going straight Legend of Bagger Vance there.
It's just so like, oh, for the love of God. Did you advance the ball? No. Then shut up. Just hit it.
I guess I would rather people be honest about it than not.
I just wish it weren't a rule. It's like, just be reasonable.
If it doesn't actually impact anything, it shouldn't be
anything. Don't kick it or anything. Right. I mean, but. So I was just learning from Bernie Miklas that I didn't realize what a dead stadium for hitting Busch Stadium is.
Yeah, it's especially this year. But it's historically, it's always been a pitcher's park. I wonder if they've ever thought about bringing in the fences a little bit.
Heard a conversation about
in a significant kind of way. And that's so un-St. Louis to do that, because you're manipulating the game. You know, once the stadium is, that's what it is. But that happens at ballparks all the time, Kevin. You see, I've actually thought that in Colorado, The problem isn't actually all the home runs that are hit. It's all the doubles. The outfield is way too big. So even if it means hitting more home runs in Colorado, I would have brought those fences in Colorado years ago. And we'll see, you know, ballparks put up walls that are a little bit higher and things like that. So if this continues to be a trend, maybe it's something where you try to manipulate something out in the outfield. But it's just, it's so tough in baseball today to put string together hits, to hit it all. And then when you have a ballpark that is just not conducive to it, it exponentially makes it that much tougher.
Yeah. There's not much you can do about it. I mean, like, here's a crazy thing. So go back to, I'm doing this research project during commercial breaks now on the home runs, like the park factor. Because it's basically, that's a, for people that don't nerd out, it's just a general measurement of how offense is achieved there. It's not just the numbers. It's like adjusted for altitude. It's adjusted for all kinds of things, right? Like, as recently as 2023, it was one of the best offensive ballparks in the country, in the league. It was sixth in terms of offense. It's never been a good home run ballpark. Never.
Was like it good back in, not this Bush, but was old Bush under Whitey Ball?
I didn't go back that far.
I'm curious how that worked out.
Yeah, I didn't go back that far on the look, but like for a long time, the park factor would typically be in the upper teens, maybe low 20s. And now it's at the very bottom. It's more like, you know, 28, 29, 30. But, like, there are outliers. Like, 2023, for some reason, was the sixth best offensive ballpark in the league, which doesn't make any sense. But it's never really been a good home run park. Like, if you look at the home run rankings, they're typically in the mid-20s over the course of the entire history of the ballpark. So it's never really a great home run park.
No.
But there's no question that it's suppressing offense now. It's not just the Cardinals.
I wanted to ask you guys, because I'm fascinated by how all this works. And I think it was McGreevy they were talking about, and they said, just off the cuff, 33 of his 65 strikeouts were on sliders. I'm like, how the hell do you know that? How the hell do they know that? Is there a guy, a human, like, click, 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 that was a slider, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Is it all computer now? It's all now?
I mean, the StatCast reads the pitch now.
Yeah.
It can read it based on the spin. So every type of pitch has a spin, profile, if
How
you
far back, because we haven't had this technology for that long, how far back can you go in MLB records and have the same sort of accuracy?
What's the StatCast era? Is it 06?
06. No. 06 is the start of the way they measure pitches, like velocity.
Because you'll hear StatCast era sometimes.
The full
StatCast, that's what you're talking about.
That probably is. I think it's since 2006. You've got almost 20 years of that kind of information.
Now, and they have profiles for every pitcher. So the computer knows if this pitcher throws a pitch with these attributes, then it is this. I read some, I'm going to get the exact numbers wrong, but you'll get the idea of where I'm going. I read somewhere once that something like 20 gigabytes of data is being produced by the second at every major league ballpark during every game. It's a ridiculous number. I'm not that far off. It's like 20 gigabytes a second because these cameras are reading so... I mean, a ball is spinning. You know, the rate of spin is in the thousands, and it's catching every milli-inch or whatever of that. It's wild what they can measure.
Is there a downside to that, in your opinion?
The only downside is if that information is overwhelming players. So if they're getting too much of it and they it's not being kind of filtered to the point where it's usable, right? And I think teams are really good at that. Like you're filtering the information down to what a player can use. For the rest of us, the only problem would be is if we try to make too much of something or don't understand it very well. And I do think a lot of these things are poorly explained because a lot of the things that older school fans push back on is just a change in terminology. It's not actually a different understanding of the game from the past. So, for example, like now we talk about a high spin rate fastball, right? Well, back in the day, they called it a rising fastball. It didn't actually rise, but it looked like it did because it spun well enough to maintain its level. So now we know what that is and we can have a specific measure. It didn't used to be called launch angle, right? People hate that term, launch angle. Well, it just used to be called loft. He's got nice loft to his swing, so that'll help him produce power, which means he's hitting the ball in the air. So it's the same concept that evaluators and old school scouts have used, but it's different terminology, and now it's measured.
The only thing I would push back on a little bit, and Kevin may disagree with me on this, we now know the equation in order the best way to win baseball games. We didn't know that before.
Right, we were guessing.
So before, like, people always talk about Whitey ball. Well, Whitey Ball, aesthetically, from an aesthetic standpoint, Whitey Ball is about as entertaining of baseball as you can play.
Mm-hmm.
We now know, it is undebatable, we now know that playing that version of baseball compared to the version of baseball that's being played right now, it's not going to get you as many wins. And president of baseball organizations and managers, their jobs are to win games, not to like produce this aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
So the data that we now know, and part of it is StatCast, a lot of it is other stuff and the research that's gone into the game. Because we know so much, the game is played in a certain way, and I think you can make the argument that it's not as entertaining in some ways as it was previously.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. So when you think about the times that people, like think of the 80s. The 80s were fascinating for baseball fans because every team had its own style.
Yeah.
The Cardinals were their own thing. Billy Martin had Billy Ball in New York, and the A's had their thing with Tony La Russa, and the Twins were different, and the Brewers. That 82 World Series is probably the perfect symbol of what the 80s were.
Yeah.
It was Harvey's Wallbangers, all these home run hitters versus Whitey Ball. And in the 80s, there was a larger diversity of styles because it was a lot about preferences. Now it's not. Now it's math.
Yeah.
And math is boring. And I think that's a fair critique of the modern game, is that everybody does things the same way. There are no outliers when it comes to style of play.
Mm-hmm.
And that can lead to what Matt's talking about. It's not as entertaining.
Unrelated question. Do you guys think Mizrowski is an evolution or a freak?
I lean freak.
I think evolution.
Okay.
I mean, but again, to what point? Like, Aroldis Chapman was throwing 105 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Like, I don't think it's that. It's just more unique that a starter can throw 105, but average 100 miles an hour with a fastball for 5, 6, 7 innings. And part of it is he's a freak of nature because he's 6'7". And 6'7" is hard to control, and it's a unique height. So the bigger you are, the more of you there is, the more mass you have, the more length you have in your levers, the more force you can apply, the more leverage you have to generate velocity. So if he were 6'3", he's probably not throwing 105. But because he has the body that he does, and now we know how to train bodies to get maximum efficiency, that's what's leading to kind of him pushing the top end of the spectrum. But it would take another guy like that, right? It takes those guys that are Skeens or even Randy Johnson, for example, a 6'11" person who can manage to kind of move correctly and efficiently to the point where you can deliver that.
Baseball fans should hope he's a freak because we don't need more of those guys walking around because nobody scores any runs.
Yeah, too hard to hit when guys are. And keep in mind, like, this is the crazy thing, okay? He's throwing 105, but because he is so tall and because he gets down the mound so far, it probably looks like 110 or 112 to the hitter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Welcome back, DGS. Dave Murray will be here at 3:35. Not sure the hell he's going to tell us.
It's hot.
Hot as bowls.
Hot as hell.
I'm going to tell him what you guys were saying earlier.
Don't tell him. Please. I'll do anything.
I wrote down exactly what you said.
I'll do anything, please.
First of all, it was all Dave and Andrew.
No, look at this. Two narcs.
No. If she wrote it down, then she knows. If she wrote it down, then she knows that you were doing it, too.
Dave Glover said, Dave Murray stinks. First of all.
This is just like when I got in trouble for saying fart in second grade.
Fort.
I remember getting in trouble
I was talking about F Troop and they live in a fort. And windy dress, but I said fart.
I remember a classmate and I got in trouble in like Catholic school in like second grade for I think we were cussing. And we had to like sit aside from everybody else during recess, and it was just the two of us like sitting on this ledge, and we were just talking about how our futures were over. We're like, well, I guess college is out of the question. I guess
life of crime from this point forward.
I just hope jail is not as bad as they say it is, because I think that's where we're heading.
And a couple of those. Wheels, tell me about Major McCausland.
Yeah, have you followed this at all?
No.
Okay, so this is not made up. This is not conspiracy stuff. This is being covered by the real news. It's being investigated by the FBI. It's being investigated by local police in some of these jurisdictions. But there have been a whole bunch of scientists and people affiliated with the UFO phenomenon, right? People that study them. Not necessarily people that are spreading stories, but like insiders, if you would, that have like died or gone missing. So this Major General William McCausland, I just want to say McCausland because of Jeff McCausland, but this is a guy named Major General William McCausland. So he disappeared 2 months ago. He walked out of his house without his cell phone and without anything that could be used to trace him. So we don't know if he's alive, dead, if he took off on his own, if somebody took him. We don't have any idea. But the story now is that he was working to try to resign from all of the top clearance, high security programs that he was a part of. And he was trying to do so because apparently, this is from his wife, that he thought he was losing his mental capacity.
You know,
he's 68
his wife?
Years old. She's in the story. I just read the story. And she was saying that he was trying to get out of it. And 2 days after he went to D.C. to resign, he just disappeared.
He's just gone.
He walked out the front door and, again, left his cell phone behind, didn't bring his credit cards, didn't bring anything, left. And nobody's heard from him since.
Here's the thing, though. Let's assume that there is a huge conspiracy and they are kidnapping and or killing, military people and scientists and all this kind of stuff. They're doing it really badly.
Well, yeah. I mean, when it's an obvious thing that's now being investigated at high levels, and mainstream news articles are all about this. Now, this is not presenting him as absolutely having been kidnapped. They're leaving open the possibility that he just wanted to disappear.
Hmm.
That, like, he just wanted to, like, not be a part of any of this anymore, because that's what he was trying to get away from. And according to the story that I read, so this was the Daily Mail, but it's in a lot of outlets, that he was resisting being questioned about all of these phenomena by, I forget who it was that's doing, which inquiry it was that he didn't want to do. That he was being, like, they were requesting to talk to him about these top security, these top clearance things, and he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to cooperate. I think it was David Grush that said that they were trying to talk to him. Congress is trying to talk to him, and he was just kind of like, didn't want to.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be a part of it. And then as he was trying to resign, because he held all of these positions with, like, major defense contractors that are involved in tech, and he has been mentioned in these UFO files that were released. And in the middle of all of this, he just said, like, I don't think I can do this anymore. I need to be out. And then right after telling people he was out, he just gone.
Which would be a bigger deal if they found a Bigfoot and it was some sort of human, or if they told us aliens were real?
I think the bigger deal is aliens.
But he's a human.
No, I know. But I mean, like, it's less foreign.
Human?
It's less foreign because he's here.
Yeah, like on the human tree.
Right, right.
Like Denisovans.
I thought you meant he was just branch. Like one weird guy.
Oh, right. Okay. Like some kind of branch of the evolutionary tree would be a lot less stunning, because it's conceivable here. Beings from somewhere else, whether it's another dimension, another solar system, or another galaxy, because they know how to travel without having to cover the actual distance.
Yeah.
Like something like that. That would change everything.
It would
change our understanding of how the universe works.
The only Bigfoot that we've actually documented was an alien and a cyborg and fought the $6 million man.
That's the biggest story.
So,
well, there are people that argue that Bigfoot is interdimensional.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure how legitimate that is, but I know people think that it is.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Dave Murray joins us, brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. All my friends in the stream were saying I was bad-mouthed earlier.
Well, you're about to be the only friend they have, because these mofos are all about to go away. I'm not even kidding.
Andrew's got his finger over the mouse button right now.
Yeah, they're out of here.
It's gonna be...
Oh, look, he just did it.
Mitch
look
didn't even that. Do anything yet, Andrew.
It's going to be mass, and it's going to be permanent.
He's out. He's gone.
He's not the only one.
Oh, yeah. He's got to go, too.
Oh, man. Look at them. They're all gone.
Up.
Bye, guys.
Just keep on going. Just keep
and it's
on
a
going.
Holiday week.
I'll tell you when
week.
To stop.
So anyway, back to the original comment.
Yeah. So
yeah, they're lying.
No. You made me mad today because I know how much you hate hyperbole, but sometimes I think you downplay a little too much. And today in one of your forecasts, you said textbook St. Louis weather. And I'm like, my balls say different because.
All right, Mr. Easy Peasy Squeezy.
I'm just saying, this is not textbook.
It's yes, hot. It is. This, yeah, you know what? How many 4th of Julys, and this is a holiday week, how many 4th of Julys have we gone through that we've been in this? Exactly the same stuff. It's 93 right now. Come on.
112 real feel, according to Wheeler.
That's what it said.
For 7 days is not typical to me. Not a meteorologist, okay. But as a feeler, it's like that feels bad.
Just check. It's 102. The heat index is 102 right now.
I can't help the bad info I get from Wheeler.
Over 102. Come on. Now, granted, June was great.
Why are you saying 102? Like, that's cold.
Yeah. What is it in Laguna? 68?
No, it's chilly today. It's only about 65.
See?
What's the difference between the a heat index or wind chill and the real feel? Is that the same thing?
Same thing. Okay. It's all the same thing. Okay. That AccuWeather
just
put
different
the real
names
feel
for it.
On it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They put their own slap on it.
So, Dave, is there any real difference between today and Wednesday and Thursday? Like, is it pretty much going to be the same day?
Basically the same day. I think the haze will start to build on us a little bit tomorrow afternoon. I think temperatures will be up a few degrees. The hottest of this should be Wednesday, even though I'm going 98 tomorrow, 98 Wednesday, 98 Thursday. But I think the hottest it will feel will probably be Wednesday. Not that makes any difference. It's not record heat. There are no records that are going to break here. But it's hot. It's humid. And nighttime lows only get back into the upper 70s, which is, in a brick town, that's tough. That's tough.
Vic
brick
says,
buildings don't cool.
Vic says, I'm hanging out on the front porch. I love the heat. Get rid of Vic. Can you?
I was going to say, Vic, you should play low, man. We're banning
yeah,
people.
Man. Yeah, man.
Here's the thing. Vic wants it too bad.
Oh, he's begging to be banned?
Yeah, reverse psychology.
Yeah, I don't know what his motivations are. So
he's trying to egg you on?
Yeah, he wants it too much.
That's funny. That's good. And then I guess it gets like livable hot later in the weekend, right?
Well, what adds the high pressure that's over us right now, sinking motion. That's why we will not see thunderstorms today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. It starts to move to the east come Thursday. So Friday, we start to add some pop thunderstorms. Same story on 4th of July, mainly afternoon, early evening variety. Little increase in that activity on Sunday as the high continues to slide to the east. So it's getting locked in for a couple of days, but it's not getting locked in. The deal is, even though they're isolated type thunderstorms, if you get under one, yes, the temperature is going to cool 20 degrees. Humidity is going to spike on you. But there could be heavy downpours of rain and thunder and lightning. So we have to kind of pay attention Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and the evenings, and then maybe any time on Sunday.
So are the lawns and the plants wet enough from the last week or so that they'll be okay?
They'll you know, the Zoysia will love this stuff. This is custom made. The tomatoes will love this stuff. The cool season grasses, they're going to struggle a little bit only because it's, you know, it was today, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday, it's Thursday. That's a long stretch in this kind of heat. So they'll start to brown up on you.
Okay.
Don't need to, yeah, I mean, you need to water them to keep their roots healthy. Yeah. But don't try to unbrown your lawn if you have cool season because it's not going to work.
Gotcha. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, let's start by talking about the fact that the Trump administration has posted a sample of the new passports. You guys remember this special U.S. passport is meant to mark the 250th anniversary, and President Trump is on the passport. So the sample page shows the president hovering over the Resolute desk with the Declaration of Independence text as a backdrop, his signature below. And there is a new phrase that they are associating with the passport that I actually kind of like. It's welcome, but be good.
Let me ask you a question. Aren't passports for U.S. citizens? So who are we welcoming?
Welcome back, but be good.
It's like, okay, wait. Because you don't issue passports to people from other places. In other words, when you're welcoming them here and be good. So you're just telling Americans, okay, you were good before, you were bad when you left, and now you got to be good again. Like, what are we doing?
Well, I think saying like we mix be good, something up. Whether you're, you know, if you're a U.S. citizen, it's always a kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, but we already live here. Like, what are you telling us?
Be good is just kind of a funny thing to say.
What are you
like, to be
us?
Good. Be good.
I think somebody mistook it with a Visa.
So this is a limited edition design, and it is going to become the default for in-person renewals at the Washington Passport Agency. But the standard look is going to stay the default at other locations and online renewals, which I need to renew my passport, so I guess I don't get
be good, Rach.
Be good.
Yeah, be good.
You guys remember all of the controversy that surrounded Alligator Alcatraz?
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
It is completely shut down nearly a year after it was built in the Everglades. This is according to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. They announced a temporary closure of the facility earlier in June because hurricane season was making it unsafe to keep the detainees there. But now they're just saying it served its purpose for the time.
And what was the
purpose? We're done with Alligator Alcatraz.
Just to scare people?
I think it was to sound tough.
I think so too. I mean, yeah, so at that point, you just paid for, what, $250 million? And yeah. It's already shut down.
Think what they could have done with that money.
I mean, oh, yeah. How many people could you help with $300 million. Now, you can't solve every problem, but you could solve a lot of problems for people.
Have you guys seen the Army Hammer movie that came out over the weekend?
No.
No.
Is it about cannibalism?
No. It is worse.
Oh, really?
It's called Citizen Vigilante. It's on, you know, most of the streaming services. Elon loves it so much that he put it on X for free over the weekend. It's banned in Germany. It's being banned in several other places. I've seen enough of it on TikTok, like scenes, that Army Hammer is an American living in Europe who is just sick to death of immigrants raping and murdering people. So he's a vigilante and he goes around killing them. And it seems like it's like it's not ironic. And so I guess white supremacists have picked up on it. And are saying, like, this is the next evolution of man. This is a real man.
Have a movie like that in the 70s?
Yeah.
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 Bronson, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but see, they were hunting down people that did something bad to them.
Killed his family.
Not just random people that might have hurt someone else. Right? Like, that was the famous revenge movies for Charles Bronson. It was like somebody killed his wife or somebody attacked his kid or whatever.
This is going to be a thing. I'm just telling you guys, like, keep your ears open. This movie and the reaction to it on both sides is going to be a thing. And they made it for like $5 million. It's already made like 70. So people are like, see, people are thirsty for this message. And
well, if they are, you only got one guy who's an outcast from Hollywood to do it. I mean, there's
be
a
good.
Reason it's Army Hammer, because Army Hammer has been basically run out.
Oh, you threatened to eat a couple of women, and all of a sudden, no one wants to cast you in movies anymore. I'm sick of the cancel culture. I'm sick of the woke BS. The U.S. Mint is releasing limited edition 4th of July quarters for America's 250th anniversary. It's going to produce 250,000 limited edition 2026
Clever.
Declaration of Independence quarters, featuring a special July 4th privy mark as part of the celebration. I like stuff like this.
I do too.
Dork,
I like Susan B.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was really into those Sacagawea dollar
coins. Oh, those
are
cool. Yeah.